House lights up, please. Wonder, do we have any crappie fishermen here? Anybody that likes to fish for crappie? Nobody? Oh, we got a couple? Well, I'll tell you, those of us that are fishing for this catfish, if we could get your, what do you call it, the bones from that, so that we can catch some real fish, that'd be great. Your crappie just make bait for us. So anyway, and we've got some door hangers that will remind you to pray for some events that are coming up this summer. And if you would like to grab one of those, and they're laminated, we've got a lot happening, and we need your prayers. So we'll have those up here. If you would like to grab one of those, I'll just drop them down here. So. Pray for the different things that's coming up and going on. There's something else I'm forgetting. I can't remember what it was. You know, it was a shame last week. Murray wasn't here to see his picture on the screen, wasn't it? But how many of y'all saw Murray hard at work last week? Murray, turn and look. Yeah. That was great. He was sleeping at work just as hard as he could, wasn't he? And I'm not going to reveal my source where I got that, but I've got a good channel for future things.
And I was praying in that picture.
He was praying in that picture. We're going to have an invitation before long, Murray. And we've got plenty of room for you down here. Well, let's take our Bibles and open up to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're in the 10th message as we're walking through this book of Colossians. I've entitled it So Much More. And you know, I just think it's awesome whenever you open up the Word of God and you've been... I've preached through the book of Colossians before, but I hit on a passage last week in the first four verses that have just... God spoke to me like I've never read it before. And it's so neat, and I've just had it just rolling in my mind all week, and how that when we came to Christ, we died to self, and we're hidden in Him. You remember that? How we're hidden in Him, and one day we're going to see Him as He's revealed in glory, and we're going to be revealed with Him. And remember that illustration I shared with you with your hand, and how that your thumb is you, and that we're to literally lay down our life in Him, and that He literally wraps us up, and our hand is Jesus, and nothing can get to us that hasn't gone through Him first. But we are to literally, we're to die to self and to literally live for Him. And so we pick up today in this, in verses 5 through 11, and in this passage, or in this section of Scripture, I'd entitled it, What Not to Wear. What Not to Wear. And I know I hadn't seen any of y'all wear any of those clothes that we talked about last week, that your kids or wife says, don't ever wear that out of the house. Remember, we talked about that. I thought about wearing something crazy, but my wife told me all my clothes were crazy. No, she didn't do that. So let's start out in verse 9. Because it helps us to understand. If we read verse 9 and 10, and then we'll come back to verse 5. And he, again, this is Paul writing a letter to the church at Colossae, and he says to them, and now he says, do not lie to one another. Well, what a thing to tell people at church. Why does he say this? Well, it's literally he's saying, stop lying. Why is he telling them to stop lying? Because they're already doing it. They're already doing it. And so it's in that tense. And then he says, why do you need to stop lying? Since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. So when you see that, take off something, put on something, it's a perfect analogy of clothing, of garments. You're taking off garments and you're to put on garments. And so he starts in verse 5. So let's jump to verse 5 and let's get this idea of what we're to take off. And then next week we're going to talk about what you put on. Okay? So in verse 5 he says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as what? Okay, hold on, hold on. All right, let's stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to do something. Stand up. I want to make sure everybody's awake. Stand up. I need somebody up here to help me out in this. Come here, come here, come here, Monte, for a minute. Come on, come on. Come on, Monte. It's not going to hurt anything. Come on. All right, now turn to your right. Turn to your right. Turn to your right. Your right's different than my right. Okay, turn to your right. Now reach out your arms and put them on your neighbor's shoulders. Start rubbing his shoulders. Start rubbing their shoulders. Okay, both hands, start rubbing their shoulders, and then start karate chopping them. Doing a little bit of that chop. There you go. Karate chop them a little bit. Now go down their back just a little bit. Go up. Okay, now then turn. Put your hands on their shoulders. Start rubbing a little bit. Rubbing. There you go. Rub. There you go. Now you start karate chopping. Start karate chopping. There you go. All right, now sit down. Now, you ought to feel good so you can sleep through the rest of the message, right? No, hopefully you're more awake. So look at verse 5 again with me. Look at verse 5. It says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as what, church?
Dead.
Boy, didn't that help? My goodness, as dead. Now then, so there's some things that we don't need to wear. Why? Because they're dead man's clothes. Do you get it? Yeah. Sandy, you'll recover later, okay? So they're dead man's clothes. That's what Scripture's telling us. You don't need to wear these things because you are dead. When did you die? When you came to Christ, when you gave your life to Christ. Look at verse 5. He says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to what? To immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. So we were put to death, we died to ourselves when we gave our life to Christ, whenever we asked Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, to forgive us of our sin. We surrendered our life to Him. And so there's some things that belong to a dead person that we shouldn't wear. I remember in seminary, I'm sitting in Old Testament 1 class. And there's a buddy that I had in there that we used to share notes sometimes. And he comes in class and we had a break about halfway through. It's one of the half hour or 3 hour classes, and we had this break halfway through. And I had told him beforehand that I needed a new suit, and I was looking for a new suit. And he comes in, he's all excited, and he says, man, he says, I found out where you can get a suit for a great price. I said, where? Where? Was JCPenney's in my mind? That's what I'm thinking. He says, no. He says, I've got a buddy that works at a funeral home in Fort Worth. And he said, you know what they do? He says, they'll rent suits to people to be buried in. And he said, they'll rent the suit. And he says, they can choose to have the suit on through the viewing, and then they'll take it off of them after the viewing. Or they'll wear the suit through the service, and they'll take it off before the burial. And they sell them at a big discount. And I said, you're kidding. How much? No, I didn't say that. But here, this is what Paul is saying. He says, there's some things that you don't need to wear because they're literally dead men's clothes. Because there's some things that you don't need. And then he lists these things in verse 5. There's 5 things he shares. Immorality. He says, that doesn't look good on you anymore. Impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. And the common thread in all 5 of these is sex. That's the common thread in all of them. It's a sensual grouping of words, and they have all to do with that part of the life that sometimes destroys people in sexual desire. So the word that he begins with is what? What's the first word in that grouping? Immorality. Okay, and do you know what the Greek word for immorality is? Porneia. Does that sound familiar to anybody? Is there a word that's an English word? Porn. You're talking about a sexual immorality is what he's speaking of, and it's really a word in the Greek that was used as having intercourse between a man and a woman that's not married. That was the Greek tense of it. For us today, it's sex between anyone that is not married. That's what you're talking about. Sex outside of marriage in any fashion. So he says, you don't look good in that. That's the way that you used to live in that sexual immorality. And as followers of Christ, we've got to get rid of that. We've got to pull that out of our wardrobe and no longer use it. Because isn't porn destructive? It is. I'll tell you a true story. There was a young lady got married in Texas. And she lived with, her grandmother lived with her mom and dad. And they had the wedding. It was a beautiful wedding. And so mom and dad come home the next day, and grandma has a couple of friends that come over, and they're having tea at the house. And grandma's all excited to tell her friends about her granddaughter's wedding. And her mom's there helping serve them. And the grandma says, oh, you should have seen my granddaughter's wedding yesterday. It was just beautiful. She said, they had everything there. It says, they even hired a professional pornographer to take pictures. Well, her mom stopped and said, oh, no, we didn't hire anybody like that. We hired a professional photographer. There's total difference in this. Well, the truth is, we're all professionals at sin, aren't we? And there's some things that we need to get rid of. And as you start talking about this, we get real pious. We start, we don't want to talk about what we're part of. So here's the next one. The next one we struggle with is impurity. That's a basic word for uncleanness. And then passion and evil desire. They always go together in the Scripture. Anytime you see one, you see the other in the Scripture. Desire is a good thing, but evil isn't. And it means that you're controlled by your feelings. You're controlled by those hormones that you go after. We're to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, right, church? Not our evil desire. And then greed is the next one in this order. And it's interesting to me because if you think about it in the reverse order, this is where everything starts, is right here. That's why the 10th commandment is, thou shalt not covet. But is that where that 10th commandment stops? Is it just thou shalt not covet? No. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That's what the commandment says. But we want to stop where it says thou shalt not covet. But it actually goes on and it says thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. So God gave us guardrails for us to protect us in our society. And he says there's some stuff that you need to leave alone. And one of them is your neighbor's wife. You need to leave her alone. And so there's some things, there's some desires that cause us to go down the wrong road. And here you have these evil desires of impurity, passion, immorality. And there are things that you think that you've got to have. But in all that starts this is self. It's our selfish nature. And then he goes on in the very last phrase of verse 5. He says it does what? All of these things amounts to what? Idolatry. Do you need to stand up again? All of these things amount to what? Idolatry. Idolatry. He says, look, these things, all five of them, we replace God with them. That's what idols are. They're replacements for God. And he's saying that shouldn't be. Because why? We have died to self. We are now serving Him. We are hidden in Christ. We're going to be revealed with Him when He's revealed. And we shouldn't be serving anything else other than Jesus. Amen? And then he goes on from there. But this reminds me of a story of King David. You remember David standing up on top of the palace and he looks down and he sees somebody bathing. Who's bathing? Bathsheba. And he has this evil desire for her. He wants her. And so he sends somebody to get her. And they bring her back to him. And that's where it started. His problem started with evil desire. And folks, that's where our problem starts, is evil desire. And the moment that you place that desire before God, bad stuff happens. But we are called, we're not called to make our own shots. We're called to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us and to direct us, because we are dead to self. And these are things, he says, we've got to get out of our closet. These are things we're not to wear. And then he goes on in verse 6, and he shares us, he says, look, the wrath of God is coming. Look there, he says, for it's because of these things that the wrath of God, what? Will come. Why would God oppose these things? Because they replace him. That's why. God's not against sex. God created sex. God, I mean, it's a beautiful thing. You know, whenever he created man, he told him to be fruitful and to what? Multiply. Sex is a beautiful thing in the confines of marriage that he designed it to be. Otherwise, anywhere outside the marriage between a man and a woman, he describes it in the ways that it's immorality, it's evil passion, it's evil desire, and it shouldn't be. It's not to be part of. And he says that he is against these things and his wrath is going to come. But what we do is we set it up as being a god. People worship it. And he says, don't do that. You don't build your life that way. We're not to live like a dog, just to go after the next thing. That's not what we're called to do. You're not created like a dog. You are a child of God. And these things will destroy your life, and he'll come against it in a heartbeat. Look at verse 7. He said, in them you also once walked when you were living in them. I encourage you, underline the word also. You know what this tells me? It tells me that I should never forget where I came from. That's what it tells me. I should never forget where I came from before I came into relationship with Christ. Because we all struggle with sin. Amen? Amen. Not one of us. Not one of us have it all figured out. Not one of us are perfect and don't ever have any struggles. And he tells us, he says, and in them you all also walk. But you know what I realize is we tend to rail against those that struggle with sin that we don't struggle with. For example, people that are involved in homosexuality, you'll hear church folks sometimes stop and go, you know, just talk horribly about them. And then, you know, they've got them sending them to hell. And why is it so easy to do that? Because maybe you don't struggle with it. But then you take something like another sin, for example, divorce, for example, and we won't rail against that. Why? Because maybe there's a friend or a neighbor, or maybe you've gone through that. We don't want to do that. We don't want to talk bad about somebody that's going through something that we deal with, right? We don't want to go there. You see, we need to love people that are going through problems. We need to love people that are dealing with sin in their lives, because folks, he says that you were there. We were there. And we may still be dealing with those things. It's only by the grace of God that we overcome those things. And we need to remember the struggle that it is to walk away from them. And learning that challenge of doing so. We don't want people to know the church is the people that are pointing their finger at others and talking down to them. We need to remember, have them know us by our open arms, loving them and encouraging them and supporting them as they're dealing with life and life's issues. There's not a one of us that hasn't dealt in our life with immorality in these things, right? Amen? Every one of us. Not one of us that hasn't dealt with the issue of lust. True? Every one of us. And we tend to forget that. And we've got to remember that we're not called to just sit and bash people. We're called to love people and encourage them as they're striving to walk through this journey. But for us as Christians, he says, look, throw these things away. They're not to be part of our life anymore. Get them out of your wardrobe. That's what we're called to do. Husbands, have you ever gone through that ritual of helping your wife as she's removing clothes out of the closet for a different season? Have you ever done that? You ever gone through that? Yeah, I see a couple of hands going up. They're going like this. Yeah. But you know, we need to go in our own personal life and get rid of these things out of our own personal life, not to wear again for another season, but to discard permanently for good. Now let's march on. Let's look on. Look in verse 6, because in verse 6 he gives us another group of five, but they're not sexual in nature. They have to do with our attitude and what comes out of our mouth. He says, but now you also. Who's the you? It's the church. Paul's writing to the church. He says, but now you also put them, how many of them aside? All of them aside. What are they? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. And the first one he says is anger. The Greek word for anger is a general anger. A general word for anger. And it says, hey, you ever met somebody that's just an angry person? You ever met somebody, you know, they're just mad all the time. Just mad all the time. That's what he's talking about here. You know, it's not because something happened to you yesterday or something happened to you today. You're just a mad person. And he says, get rid of this. You know, sometimes you take it out on your dog. Sometimes you take it out on your boss. Sometimes you take it out on your wife, your kids, whatever, at work, whatever. You're just angry. He says, get rid of that. As a believer in Christ, we're to be dead to this. That's not how we're to be known. And then the next one is wrath. That's outburst. That's when somebody, you ever heard this? Somebody says, well, that's the last what? Straw. Or that's the straw that broke the camel's back. You know, that's wrath. You know, that's the moment that you're just ready to blow up. And he says, get rid of this. This doesn't belong. Take that out of your closet. Get rid of it. It's dead men's what? Clothes. Don't wear it. Don't do it. And then the next one is malice. This is whenever you have anger towards a person and you're finding a way to get back at them. And it's an intense word that means that you have evil in mind for that person. And he says, no, as a child of the living God, you've been forgiven of your sin. You're not to have this malice towards somebody else. And then the next one is slander. You know, the word slander is the same word of blasphemy in the Greek text. It's the same word. And so what is blasphemy of God? It's saying things about God that's not true. And so we're not to say things about people that are not true. That's slandering people. You know, today on social media, you'll pick up social media and you'll find people that are talking about others. I've been talked about social media. Boy, I've been hitting on we have a slander page in Catoosa. It's called Conversation Catoosa. Did you know that? It's a slander page. You want to find out the latest gossip, you go to Conversation Catoosa. I'm bashing it. You better believe it, because what people do on there is anti-God. It's anti-Christian. You don't go to Conversation Catoosa to be encouraged. You go to find out what people are mad about today and who they're talking about today. You know, I've been cut up on Conversation Catoosa several times, you know, driving a school bus. You know, I've been cut up there. I've been cut up being the pastor of Oak Grove Baptist Church. And I know some other people that's been cut up on there. I had somebody come to me more than once and saying, oh man, I've just had this horrible day. People are talking about me on Facebook. I said, you mean Conversation Catoosa has finally come to you? So well, count it as joy. It's finally your turn. You finally made it. But you know, as Christians, we're not to slander. We're not to talk about people and make things up about people. And the reason why people do that is they want to make them look better. If I can tear you down, somehow they think it lifts them up above you. No, that's not of a believer. Look at the next one, the last one. Abusive speech. That's whenever you use your tongue to destroy a brother or sister. It's literally you're trying to hurt someone and cut them to pieces. And the common thread of all of these is that they affect relationships. They affect relationships. And Paul is giving this context, though, and I know I jokingly talk about conversation katusa, but he's using this in the context of the community of the body of Christ. He's saying all of these to quit it. You remember how he started this out? Stop what? Lying. You remember the very first thing he told them to do in verse 9? Stop lying. But he's telling them to do this in the context of the body of Christ. And you know, in the body of Christ, in the church, I've seen people slander somebody else. I've seen malice. I've seen anger. I've seen wrath. I've seen obscene talk. All of it. And he says, this should not be. This is not to be who we are and what we're about. It destroys us. It destroys the church. It doesn't look good. You know, I'm going to tell this story just because of the context we're at. I wouldn't tell it any other time. First church I pastored, I had a couple that I'd been working on a long time to try to get to come to church. And I finally got them to come to not only church, but they came to Sunday school. And we had a Sunday school director that I later found out that he was groping women in the church. And we asked him to leave. But he was standing at the pulpit. We would meet in the worship center and we would give announcements and then we'd go off to our classes. But this couple was standing down here in front of the stage and I was just so excited to see them. And I turned to this guy and introduced them to him. And he was standing writing his notes because he was Sunday school director and he was going to give announcements. And this was his comment he made. He says, well, he says, I'm glad that you came. And he says, what do you think about how tall our pastor is? And he says, you know, he's so tall when he stands up behind the pulpit, he says he looks like he's making love like a dog. You know, those people turned around and they just walked out of church right there. This is in church. Folks, watch what we say. And who you say it to. Our mouths can either build up or they can destroy. And I can tell you this, that it takes a whole lot more words to build up than it does to destroy. And Paul is saying, quit doing these things. Quit wearing them because they don't look good on you at all. How many times you heard somebody say, put something on and say, oh, does this make me look fat? Do I look good in this? And there's times that you want to say, you know, it really does. But you don't. Because you're trying to be kind, right? Well, let me tell you, folks, these things don't make you look fat. They make you look like a non-believer. They make you look like you're somebody headed to hell. Don't use them. Don't wear them. Take them off. Get them out of your closet. Don't even give them to Goodwill. Get rid of them. Therefore, look at verse 9. Do not lie to one another, since you've laid aside your old self with its evil practices and have put on a new self, which is being what? It's being renewed. Being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. You know what this means? We're in process of becoming more like Christ. We're being renewed. We're going to be more like Christ today than we were yesterday. We should be more like Christ the next day than we were the day before. We are being renewed. And you know, the truth, we may deal with these things, and it's hard. I know people that have been involved in pornography and been involved in these things. And it's a hard habit to kick. True. And I know folks that have laid it down and strived to walk away from it, only to find themselves sitting there with it again whenever they thought they had it beat. And then they think, man, I'll never be able to beat this thing. Well, you know, the Bible tells us it's a process. We are being renewed. We are being renewed. And as the body of Christ, you know somebody, and it may be you, that's struggling with one of these sins. Know that it's a process. You are being renewed day by day by day. You're going to have more strength to overcome these things as things go along. And how do we get that strength? We put the true knowledge of Jesus in us, the one that created us, so that we strive to be more like the Creator. And as we strive to be more like Him, these things, these old clothes that we wore, we'll no longer want to wear them anymore as time goes along. Right? Had a buddy, he had his favorite shirt. His wife would throw it away, and he would find it in the garbage. And he would pull it out of the garbage, and just whenever she didn't look, he would put it back on and would wear it. Anybody have a favorite shirt? You know what I'm talking about? It was ugly, but it was comfortable. He loved it. It had memories tied to it. And maybe you've got some favorite sins that you're holding on to. And you realize today that these are things that you need to finally get rid of and leave in the garbage. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, our musicians are coming, Janessa's coming. We're going to have something we call invitation. And the invitation is this today. Maybe today you're dealing with some of these things. And God is telling you, get rid of it. Take it out of your life. Today, are you willing to commit? And you're willing to say, Lord, I can't do this on my strength. But Lord, whatever you want. Lord, whatever you want of me. Maybe for you today, He's calling you to come and give your life to Him and to receive Him as the Lord and Savior of this world. To forgive you of your sins, to follow through in believer's baptism, to be part of this church body. That's what this time is for. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you that you desire us to look more like Jesus each and every day. Give us the strength as we walk this journey to take these old clothes off and to put on the new garments that you want us to wear. In Jesus' name, amen. Please stand. Please come.